welcome. We have fired up the microphones again on a rainy 29th of July. Good afternoon, everyone. Hello, Ashley.
Ciao.
My name is Jason. Together we run, own, and operate La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo and cooking school in the heart of Italy, Le Marche, and the rainy, crappy. It feels like we live in the UK, in London, and not Italy this year.
It's a Seattle summer kind of day.
Oh, man. This winter, because it feels like that. This summer's been wet and rainy, and the garden is no one's really liking it.
Well, just to reset really quick, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Jason and I run, own, and operate La Tavola Marche. Like he said, this a farm inn and cooking school here in lovely La Marche. And this is our inconsistent podcast. Throughout the winter, we try to do it almost once a week. Throughout the summer, we're lucky if we post one once a month. So we had this afternoon break, and we thought, finally, we got to get one in the can. So back to the weather. It's like the rainiest, wettest summer we've had in now going on almost 8 years.
Yeah, the people of our area love to complain about the weather. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too windy, it's too rainy. And this year, it's true, it's too rainy. The tomatoes are rotting on the, they're not maturing correctly.
Oh my God, it's so sad.
The onions aren't doing very well. It's just, it's rainy and then it's just humid and meaning moisture, not really humidity as we know it in the States, where it's, when I say humidity, you think hot and wet. Here, that means cold. That means wet in the morning. And when the humidity sits on the tomato plants, they don't like it, and they get the blight.
It's not good. 400-plus plants.
Not good this year.
No, but what is thriving?
All the different gourds and pumpkins and zucchinis.
They're attacking.
They are absolutely insane. I have leaves on some of my pumpkin plants that look like elephant ears. They're gigantic.
We're going to have to go down and do some video because I've never seen it like that. It looks like some sort of pumpkin patch gone on steroids, and they're climbing into the tomatoes.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's not good. I would much rather. I haven't watered in 3 weeks. Nope. I've not put water on my garden in 3 weeks.
That's
nature. Nature has done it for
me. Yeah,
I
mean, that's crazy.
It is crazy. But you know, it's always something. And this year, it is too much water. It's always something. But the summer's humming along.
Guests
coming and going. Everyone's happy. We've seen a return of the Dutch to La Marche this year, whereas in the last couple of seasons, the Dutch in general, we know they're Dutch because they are the only ones in Europe with orange-colored license plates. So their cars kind of stick out like a sore thumb. And I would say, I don't know if there's a deal in the Netherlands, but most of them are Volvo estate cars.
I feel like it's state-issued, kind of like the Fiat or the Fiat like the Fiat Panda when you're older.
Or the Punto.
I think it's the Volvo is like a state issue.
Standard issue when you have two kids.
Standard issue. Yeah, with your second child comes a Volvo and your tax return or something. I would think. I feel like it.
So that's great. So we see a lot more Dutch and people from Northern Europe who've taken a break with the last couple of years. We've noticed with the crisis going on in Europe. I think they're coming back this year.
It's fun. We have a couple Dutch families here, and one of them in particular, this is like their third or fourth trip here in the past 3 or 4 years. So it's pretty cool to have seen these kids grow up, and we try to speak a little Dutch that
doesn't really work.
But it's nice.
It's nice. This year we've added a couple of things fun for the summertime. We're going to do bisteca nights. So a lot of our guests who came this summer saw the little thing Ashley put out about how we did bisteca Fiorentina. And bisteca Fiorentina is...
It was just on like Instagram video.
Yeah, it's just a giant like porter, what we would call a porterhouse, which is the filet and the strip, the New York strip or the... What was the other name?
Well, yeah, let's slow down. Let's talk about how the size, the weight.
It's usually about one bone's worth, so one rib, one bone, and excuse me.
It's best thought of as reminiscent of the old 96er from the Great Outdoors.
It weighs about a kilo two, so like a little over two and a quarter pounds. It's usually served medium rare. Then you slice it and put rock salt, a little olive oil, and a lemon. And this is something that you would typically find in Toscana. And they make it from a cow, a type of cow that's called the Chianina. And here we have the Razza Marchigiana, which is a cousin of the Chianina. These are white cows that aren't nearly as big as the cows that you find in North America. They're much narrower and just smaller animal, and they don't have the marbling through the middle. The steaks don't have the marbling through the middle that we find in North America because they're not fed corn. They're fed grass. These are totally grass-fed animals, so they have a different taste to them.
And the color. Yeah.
And the color is different as well.
Well, also, let's we were talking about this the other day with some guests, with this bisteca in particular, and talking to them about butchers and things, about leaving the meat out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes these things are just funny.
So in America, and I know we have a lot of people listening from all over the world. So I'm just going to speak about America because I've only lived in America and Italy. So here we go. In America, you are not allowed to leave food out in what's called the temperature danger zone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is between... which is above 42 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 2 hours because the threat of bacteria growing on them, whatever. Now, a vegetable is obviously different, but if you have, say, a piece of fish or a piece of meat, the total time from that it should stay out of the temperature danger zone before you eat it, before you cook it, is 2 hours. So that includes the preparation, the transportation, the blah, 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 blah. Now, really, meat should be at room temperature, especially a big, huge steak, before you cook it. However, in the restaurant, you must keep these in the refrigerator before you order your steak. So it's coming directly from the refrigerator to the grill, which is never good. Think of a muscle, right? Steak's just a muscle, just like the muscle in your leg. Now, if you went out and for a run, would you just start running? No, you'd stretch and you'd warm up your muscles so that they're ready to go before you work them. Well, the same is true when you cook a muscle. You have to make sure it's warmed up before you cook it. Otherwise, it's tight. And now the problem with that is when you cook a steak, it's going to be cold in the middle and the outside is going to get cooked first, and then it'll never really come to the proper temperature you want it in the middle. So next time you go and get your steaks, if you're going to cook it at home, leave your steaks out on the counter. Leave your meat. It doesn't matter. I say steak because that's what's in my mind, but you leave your meat out on the counter. Let it come up to room temperature. So for instance, when I go to pick up these steaks from the butcher tomorrow, I'm not even going to put them in the refrigerator. They're going to stay out on the counter all afternoon. They are going to be room temperature when they go when they go on the grill, and it's a lot easier to get the correct doneness by doing it this way.
Well, and what brought this up also is that we were talking about a butcher who had labeled on some of this meat or told an American couple, leave it out 10 to 12 hours before you're going to cook it. And they just thought, this must be wrong. And Jason was like, no, that sounds pretty proper. That sounds great amount of time. So that resting time, does that add to, like, does that mean it's more tender as well?
No, it just gets the meat up to, so think about a cold muscle.
Yeah.
It's tight, right?
Exactly.
You want the meat to be nice and relaxed so that when you put the meat on the temperature of the meat on the outside is the same temperature as on the inside when you go to cook it. Whereas if it comes from this refrigerator, when the temperature of the outside will heat up immediately, but the inside will still be cold like the fridge, which makes it much, much more difficult to cook. I'm sure there's other things that it affects.
No, but that was great. I love the analogy of stretching, too.
Yeah,
people
absolutely
seem to get it when you say that.
Yeah, you don't just go out and start running or start exercising. You stretch and warm your muscles up. Same thing when you go to cook one.
I love that. 10
so,
to 12 hours.
I don't know how we get on the...
because of bisteca, because we're doing some new stuff this summer.
Oh, yeah. So tomorrow night, we're doing a bisteca night, so it'll be... bisteca.
Oh, this is good.
This is good. We'll do bisteca, some beans, some barlotti beans from the garden, a little bit of salad. I'll probably throw out a little crostini or something to go before the steak comes out. And dessert. And we'll do it for... each steak will feed generously to people. Like, generously. But it'll be fun. It's something different, and I think people are really going to dig it. Basically, the whole house is signed up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do pasta for the kids early because the parents too are like, no, the steak is for us, not for the children. The, you know, 8 and under, they can have some pasta and pork pops, we like to call it. Yeah. But it'll be great. And you're making a really good dessert too. I am so hungry for this dinner. I'm glad you invited Gaji over because me and Gaji are going to pound one of those. You're doing, are you still going to do the lemon tart?
I think I'll do the lemon tart. It's a good tart. It's a good, from when I was in school, we used to do this lemon curd tart. It's absolutely delicious.
It is.
Nothing but butter and egg yolks, but...
got both.
It's delicious, so I'll do that because it's nice to have something a little tart after all mm-hmm. that meat. And they're
and
not
a bit
really
more elegant
known.
And...
Yeah, we're not really known for our good desserts out here, so what I'd really like to do is go get sorbet from Maki, but I'm not going to drive all the way to Fano to get sorbet.
I know. What else have we been doing? Gosh, our Feel Like a Local Fridays have been off the hook. They have just been totally packed, which has been a blast. Showing everyone around to Pecchio and the markets and Fushiani and up to lunch in the beer places. So that's been going strong. I've been having, probably packing all the pounds, drinking beer and eating meat all day on Fridays, but it's good.
Like we said in our last podcast, it's kind of hard this time of year because really it's pretty repetitive. It's wake up, do the garden, clean around, you know, clean up, serve breakfast, take a nap, cook in class, dinner, go to bed, do it all over again. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the groove. It's the end of June, so this or July. So this is the time where it's the dog days, baby.
I know. And I keep listening out for a car. We're expecting some guests to arrive. And that's the other problem with recording a podcast. We'll be like, all right, we've got time. And it's like, oh my gosh, someone just arrived. I gotta go. So I'm trying to keep my ear out. I hear some gravel. We act like, I feel like dogs, like not even Pavlovian dogs, but just that idea of like you hear the gravel and it's like, is someone's coming?
Yeah, but I heard that one went by pretty quick.
Okay.
Normally guests don't haul ass by the house.
That's
normally
true.
Normally they go pretty slow.
We did have a guest too. We have a sign that says, please drive up the slow driveway slowly. First gear is best. Give the driver rest. Go slowly. First gear is best. And he would rev it up. And I had to run after him. And I was like, dude, he was some young guy. So I didn't feel so weird calling him dude. But I was like, dude, you are ripping up this driveway. What is going on? You want me to show you how to do it? And he's like, I just felt like I was like, I feel like you're really gunning it. And he goes, oh yeah, I'm going for a running start. And I was like, why would you do that? He goes, I feel like I really needed to just gas it and gun it to get up the hill. And I was like, the sign says slow.
Americans, Americans, listen to me. In Europe, we drive manual transmissions. I know we're not used to this in North America. When you go up a hill, put it in first and go slowly.
Slow, slow, slow.
Don't gas it. If you gas it, all you're going to do is spin the tires. You're not going to go forward any quicker. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Put it in first, barely give it any gas, and you will go right up the hill. If you gas it, you will just sit there and spin, and you will continue to tear up my drive. I'm done being upset about it.
Oh, I know. Thank God you have.
The first couple of years, it would drive me absolutely insane, and it would pull my hair up, and I'd scowl at people as they got out of their cars. Now it's just like, whatever.
It's because you're not driving up the driveway. You're parking down below.
I'm parking down below. So you guys are crazy, man. No one knows how to drive. No one knows how to drive a stick. Absolutely don't. It's insane.
I learned to drive stick here, and I think it taught me how to drive different because I don't know. I just think I'm a different driver. But learning how to drive stick on hills is a completely different driving situation.
Whatever. I'm over that one.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
You want to get into it?
Well, do you want to talk about – well, we had a great question. Do you want to talk about – answer the question that we got?
Sure. You set it up, and I'm going to see if that was our guest.
Okay. Thanks. So I want to say a quick thank you. Let me see here. We had a great question. I got to find out the name of who wrote in on Facebook, but how have things changed since we moved to Italy? And that to me is a great question because now that we've been here for going on 8 years, a lot has changed really. And it's a question we don't really get. So that one stood out. Oh, from Michael Sheehan. Sorry about that, Mike. Thanks for the question. We'll go through a few more of yours in different podcasts as well. He sent a bunch of great ones. So Jason, how have things changed?
Well, Ashley, things have changed in many ways. Is that good? I repeated the question
it
back
is good.
In for your...
Now, well, also, and how our... he didn't put this, but this is what we kind of thought as a tagline, how our perspective has shaped where we live, too.
Okay, how's things changed? Mm-hmm. First things, we have seen technology slowly come to the Italian countryside. When we first arrived, there was no cell signal out here, barely. No internet signal. I mean, there's still no data signal for your cell phone, but now there is... satellite internet.
We still don't have a fixed phone line or television.
But in North America, a lot of people are ditching their fixed phone lines as well.
And what did you read today, speaking of this, with Italian internet?
Italy has the lowest percentage of high...
bandwidth.
The slowest internet in Europe is found here in Italy, which doesn't support...
Is that bandwidth?
No. What? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Know.
It's just the amount of people hooked up to high-speed internet is the lowest number here in Italy. Which that doesn't surprise me at all.
No, it's not the.
It's really expensive. People are our neighbors think we're crazy for paying the amount of money we do every month for satellite internet. But
it's
we have
a car payment.
It's a car payment. We could have a car or we could have internet every month.
Yeah.
But we have to. I mean, we have no the alternative is dial up through your phone, which is basically unusable.
Which is what we used for the first three years,
yeah. Which is why we lived at internet cafes.
So that's a huge thing that's changed. Another thing that has changed is convenience, meaning things like grocery stores, and not all of them by any means, but a handful are now open on Sundays or open on Sundays for a short amount of time.
And now, also have horario continuato.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This was a slow build. So when we first moved here, nothing except possibly on special occasions did Auchan have, which is like the Target, Fred Meyer kind of big thing, did they have the all day hours. They'd still take the break or these things. And then slowly you'd see these bigger shops saying we're open all day. And you're like, oh wow, that's some big business right there. Then to see some of the places open on a Sunday or open part of the day Sunday. I mean, that's a huge change to even sometimes guests will be like, oh my gosh, how is something closed? I'm like, hey, you're lucky you're here this year and we have internet and that the grocery store's open on a Sunday.
Yeah, so now a couple of the grocery stores are open Sunday mornings from like 9 to noon or 12:30, which is huge.
That is.
Other things have just had continuous hours, which is huge. So we've seen that change a little bit. We've also seen the financial crisis grip Italy. We've seen just tons of things closing and people...
Cafe in Sant'Angelo today. Yeah, like, you saw a bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, the main cafe in Sant'Angelo. We were going through Sant'Angelo for the first... You know, we haven't been through there in a month or something. The big cafe Centrale on the corner was closed. So we're still seeing that a little bit.
You saw in the paper today, sorry, the Astas, the auctions for homes. Like, so there still is the...
Yeah, here's something that's really funny. If you're looking to move to Italy, now's the time to buy. There was an article in the paper today about how there was the province of Pesaro Urbino put a auction for five properties, and there was only one bid for one property. All the rest had no bids. And I don't know, they listed the prices and stuff. I don't know if that's because they were grossly overpriced or what, but...
It was just interesting. We've also seen our closest McDonald's used to be almost 2 hours away, and now there's one 45 minutes. Or not McDonald's, Burger King.
Whatever. Fast food was only in big cities. Like, there was one way up in Rimini.
Yeah.
and there was one way down in Ancona, and now they're popping up all, you know, they're popping up in Fano, they're popping up in other places too, so we've seen
with
that.
Which is a gross change. That's a bummer.
Oh, what else have we seen? Other things like that. I don't know.
Well, the sad stuff, too, is seeing the youth leave, like seeing exodus of smart, you know, kind of that brain drain and, you know, a lot of educated Italians leaving Italy, which is a bummer. I'm trying to think of good stuff.
I am, too. I was trying to think of good stuff, too. What else? And well, this brings us to our next point. When we talk about in Italy, they do it like this, or in Italy, it happens like this. This is kind of not really... Correct.
We're in a bubble.
We live out in the middle of nowhere.
This is like saying in Barnstall, Oklahoma, this is how they do it. Well, what is Barnstall, Oklahoma? That's a little tiny town where my family's from, but that doesn't mean that's how they do it all over Oklahoma or let alone anywhere else in the world.
We were at Maki. By the way, congratulations to Maki.
Oh, my God.
Maki in Fano was named by Italian Vogue. As one of the best gelaterias in Italy, which is huge.
It's so cool.
It is so cool, and they deserve it. They work really, really hard, and they make fantastic. We've talked about them 100 times.
We fantasize with them about business ideas. Going, man, the combination of the four of us, it could be cool.
So anyway, we were in there. I don't know. A few weeks ago, we stopped. We had to go to Fano to get more. Like brochures, because God, you know, why would we need tourism brochures? We only run a bed and breakfast with tons of tourists. Why
they only want to give me 5 minutes.
I know, whatever. That's a whole other story. Anyway, we stopped by to say hello and bring him some plums and stuff.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
were talking about, I don't know how this got up, but we were talking about our neighbors think we're nuts because we get a lot of, I order a ton of stuff online because I don't feel like normal stuff. Different things I need for the garden or tools or like I needed these special scissors. So instead of driving all over, you know, this region looking for this, which I'll never find, I just go online and buy it. Ship it to me. It's worth the $10 in shipping because it's my time is worth more than that. Well, the courier doesn't come all the way out to our house. So we've finally set it up. So the couriers will, and there's three main couriers. They'll leave it at the bar in Piobico.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those people think we're crazy that we get all this stuff sent to us from online. What about fraud? What about people stealing your identity? It's like, I don't know. It's never happened yet. And we were talking, I was asking the guys at Maki Antonio and Paola, if they buy stuff online. They're like, yeah, all the time. I'm like, do you guys think that's odd? Do all your friends? They're like, yeah, why? I'm like, because in Piobico, they're like, well, you live in Piobico. It was so funny.
It was so true. And you were like, oh, yeah.
So when we say our experiences and our point of view is from living in a town of 2,000 people out in the middle of nowhere where time stands still and things are done in a different way. So I would like everything from immigration is immigration, but everything from.
Yeah, residency and having them fill in our name in the big book by hand to
certain things that
to knowing all the police officers to just a little bit of everything. It's the country living. And I just have to put a little side note on Jason's shopping online. We support our local vendors like no others, or like we should. It's not that he's not, because sometimes people go, oh, well, shouldn't you be supporting?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Please.
No. I just have to give you a little disclaimer. I know you live at the hardware store.
But listen.
We're buying all the chicken food stuff at the cafe.
There's no population out here. So things that are out of the realm of normal that
for
I need.
For
Piobico or for Urbano or for Sant'Angelo. If I go into the hardware store and ask for these special scissors, all they're going to do is go through a book and order them the same way I'm going
to
order them.
And it'll get to our house before it gets to theirs.
Oh, of course it will, because they have to wait for listen, this is Italy. So the guy, the rep comes by once a week to take the order. I mean,
I know.
They're still door-to-door salesmen.
I know.
Every year, maybe a handful of door-to-door salesmen show up with their stuff in their trunk trying to sell us cleaning products or better mouse traps or
something. At least the Jehovah's Witnesses took a hint. I was like, I kept telling them, you guys, wrong country. You're not going to get much turnover here.
You're not going to have people listen to the good word here in Italy.
No.
Our point of view is very, very much different from an expat who might live in
Rome,
Bologna, Tuscany, Puglia. Like, for instance, we have good friends. Ashley has good friends of ours who were in Bari, down in Bari, and they had a horrible time. And they beat their heads against the wall. And it was just like, man, we don't have problems with that at all. There's no traffic here.
Exactly.
There's one stoplight in three towns.
I was just thinking all their problems were parking places.
just all these things about that we just don't have problems with. If I walk into the post office and there's three people in line, I turn around and leave. Like, I'm not going to stand in line and beat my head against the wall.
It's not worth it.
The other day at the bank, it was Monday morning at the bank. We had a bunch of banking stuff to do.
Oh, my gosh. And there were so many people. One teller. Jason drops me off. I patiently wait in line because I know I've got to do
it. All my shopping.
So the shopping comes back. And finally, I'm being seen by then. But what was hysterical was we're about nine deep in there with one teller and they take their sweet time. Like when you're being helped, to your fullest and answering all your questions and all of that. So they're not skimping you, like hurrying you along, but it's like, oh my God, you're thinking, come on, let's move this a little quicker. A guy, this big tall guy walks in, looks around the room, looks at me and says, is there only one person working? And I said, yes. And he just goes, bravo, and leaves. Great job. And I just thought, exactly, if I wasn't waiting here for Jason, this would have happened as well.
I think most of the frustrations of people who move here and don't know how, get frustrated with the lines or the bureaucracies, you don't know how, you try to fit your mentality in make it work in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't America. It's not Canada. It's not the UK. It's not Australia. It's Italy. It's done a different way. So you have to learn how to either beat the system or work the system.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I go shopping on a Saturday morning. I open the place. Open the butcher. I open the grocery store because I know if I wait, everyone goes shopping on a Saturday morning because nothing's open on Sunday. So it'll be craziness.
These are the differences. Those are the small differences and not nitpicky, but those are the kind of small differences of living in Italy versus vacationing in Italy. Living in Italy, things start to either drive you crazy or you have now more of time frames that you need to stay within or you've got other things you have to get done. So the waiting at the grocery store
at first was romantic.
It's really romantic and you're like, look at everyone. This is so fun. I'm one of the yokels. And then you're like, by then year two or three, you're like, oh my God, get me in, get me out. Or Jason's like, there's no reason to go to the grocery store if it's already 10 o'clock. I might as well not go till later. Or you don't shop on Monday mornings because the fruit's not delivered. So instead of getting pissed off, you just don't do it.
You just don't do it. So if it's Saturday morning and it's 10 o'clock and you haven't done your grocery shopping yet, wait till 12:15.
Yeah.
Because at 12:15, everyone's done. Everyone's going home to start lunch, and you will have now the grocery store to yourself. Yes, everything's picked over. However, you don't have to. You probably get out of there at 12 anyway if you went at 10.
It's true. It's true.
So those are kind of some of the things. And I think that part of the – yeah, I think that's the main thing people do is just try to don't understand, well, this is how we do it in our – well, yeah. Okay, then go back. Go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not how they're and it kind of is like a game to me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this is why my big suggestion for anyone who says they want to move out here is, great, do it. Pick a place for 3 months or so. See if you really still want to live out here and live and be here in the winter in those times so you get to feel what it's like when you're not on holiday. I don't know. I guess so how things have changed since we've moved. It's not only things in Italy, but how we've changed as well.
We figured the system out, I think. And the things that used to affect us, I couldn't even recall anymore because we know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting.
We have a friend who we see once a year. She has a summer home, a vacation home in a little town, maybe 45 minutes from us. Well, she's had problems with her pool forever. This last time, the pool guy who's supposed to open the pool at the beginning of the season didn't do a good job, didn't put any chemicals or it wasn't covered, and her pool turned into a swamp. Well, after 6 years, 5 years, whatever it is, and having problems with this constantly, you've got to learn how to do your pool.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find another person, and you've got to just do it because this isn't customer service is not the top priority, especially customer service for someone who's here a handful of days a year that they don't have to see at the bar, that they don't have to listen to them talking, spreading these stories about how they don't do a good job because there's no connection. If you don't live here, they don't feel connected to you. You have to earn it. So my suggestion to this person was learn how to do your pool and fire the guy and find another pool guy. But you got to learn how to do it yourself because no one's going to do it for you here, especially since you don't live here. Now, if she lived here, she would know the guy. She would know the guy's family. She would know – she would see him around, and he would care if he did a good job because she could then go and say at the bar on a Sunday –
actually, it's very easy because you could just say – it's such a shame.
It's such a shame.
Family and what a beautiful pool.
And so and so didn't do a good job and left it
you
open.
You just have to. All you do is let that hang.
Hang, that's what will keep. But if you're never here, he doesn't care. It's just he's gonna. You pay every month to have this done, and when you come back and you're pissed off, he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said, and then when you come in and have to fix it yourself, you don't know how to use your own equipment.
Yeah.
So it's just little things like that. You know, it's not like there's 10 pool guys to choose from.
No, and we've learned that the hard way, too, whether it's the pool or the electrician or anything like that.
It's been great because it's made me learn a little plumbing, a little electricity, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You become a jack of all trades because out here, you just can't wait.
Something else that's changed that I don't have any concrete information or facts about, which so it's classic coming out of my mouth, is I just saw this last night, actually, that there is a new the Italian government is getting ready to offer a new visa category for startups, for entrepreneurs.
Technology startups.
Startups.
What does that mean?
If you want to be an entrepreneur and
just
open your business.
Start a business.
Yes.
So it's like laboral autonomous. Autonomous work.
Yes, but they're calling it, it's got to be brand new. Like it would have been for us. We would have been, it would have worked for us starting a brand new business in Italy. We can't change over to that category now, for example. But like I said, don't have any details. Just a name for you guys to search. Hey, it's something. Startup visas in Italy and something that's coming. So I don't know. I think they're trying to help businesses that are starting up in incubator states.
So what it would be is you'd look under lavoro autonomo.
No.
They call it startup?
Startup.
Oh, they must mean technology then.
I don't even know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. We're here.
Mm-hmm. So. But I just thought that was interesting as well. Hopefully they will start seeing the possibilities. I don't know. Italy's a great place. I hate to see things. I hope to sound like we're not, I don't want to sound pessimistic. We still love living here. We've just learned to live with it in a different way. And 8 years, just like in New York, they say after 10 years, you're a New Yorker, or once you've gotten mugged kind of thing. I feel like, you know, 8, 10 years, you start to learn the system. You really become
a little Italian,
you know? Absolutely. I don't know. There's things now we would never do. We would, I don't know. Not that we wouldn't drink milk after 10 o'clock at night. We still love a late night cappuccino sometimes. But there's certain like little weird funny Italian rules that it is like, oh, yes, you would not do that. That's not proper at all. I don't know.
Okay. Enough about that. So I hope that answered your question. And
well, here's a perfect segue. Something that we have seen that is changed since we've been here is gluten intolerance. Recorded a whole half segment of this podcast and realized maybe we don't want to invite a whole bunch of crazies and responses, and it's just not worth the headache. So we're going to do a take two, try to be a bit more PC and not be so heated or intense. Jason, take it away.
There's an article in Huffington Post Food about this guy, and I assume he's a chef, about how he's gluten intolerant and how crazy the not only the gluten-free people, because he made a point about how he's a stutterer, and 1% of the population stutters. 1% is also celiac, and we're not talking about people who are actually celiac or have Crohn's disease. We're talking about the people who decided to self-diagnose and decided that gluten was the enemy, who don't really know what gluten is. There's a great thing on Jimmy Kimmel Live. We'll put this little clip up as well about he goes around LA asking people if they're gluten intolerant. They go, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you eat gluten? No, no, I'm gluten intolerant. What is gluten? They have no idea. We were all fired up the other day. Now, 2 days later, not so much. My job is to cook food for people that they want to eat. Now, if you're gluten intolerant, why would you want some fake pasta with xanthan gum and all these weird things in it? Why not just cook? Is it the gluten or is it the wheat? I don't know if you know. pardon me. The same thing goes with, and I'm throwing the vegetarians who also say I'm a vegetarian but eat chicken and fish in there too, because you're not a vegetarian. That if you're a vegetarian, you say you eat chicken and fish. That goes that you can't be the two at the same time. It's just impossible. It makes you look foolish. The same thing goes where you say you're gluten intolerant, but then you eat breadsticks or chorale or beer. Do you know beer is made with wheat and barley, which has gluten in it? Crazies. So we went on this whole rant, and really I don't have the time for it because I know it'll be just a shitstorm of emails and all this stuff, and I don't really care. Those of you who really do have affliction, you are not the ones I'm talking about. Just like the woman who got out of the car this summer and said, oh, I'm deathly allergic to bees, and we stopped everything and said, whoa, if you're allergic to bees, we need to talk about this right now because this is the summer. There are bees everywhere. There's flowers everywhere. And if you get stung, did you bring your EpiPen? And it turns out, and we had a nurse here as well, another from another family who is as well stopped in her tracks and joined the conversation. And it was like, ma'am, if you are really, really allergic to bees, this is something that we have to talk about because you maybe can't stay here if you, because the nearest hospital is 45 minutes away. Well, it turns out she wasn't really allergic to bees. Well, I'm not really allergic to bees. I got stung once as a child and I didn't like it. Well, there's a big difference between, especially when you tell me this, because I'm responsible for the health and safety of all my guests staying here. So if you tell me you're allergic to bees, we have to talk about this because if you don't have an EpiPen, you probably can't stay here because there are bees everywhere. So it turns out, no, I'm not allergic to bees. I just don't like getting stung. It was owie once when I was little. Well, you look foolish because there's a huge difference. Why do you take it to that level? It's the same thing with the gluten people and the vegetarian people. And I'm lumping you guys all into the same boat because it really is. And it's, again, stop typing. I don't want to hear about how gluten affects how wheat affects your stomach. And I'm sure it does. Fine. And I'm not talking about the people who are really, really have Crohn's disease or have celiac disease. You guys, I'm not talking about because you guys have your act together. You don't mess around. It's the people who's you come prepared. It's the people who come and say, I don't eat gluten, no gluten, and then want to take a pasta class or put their hands in all hands in flour. So, excuse me, we're going to post this article. It's really good. Please read it. And I'll also post the Jimmy Kimmel little man on the street spot because it's totally awesome. And that's all. I don't know. I don't want to go off on this. I don't want to go off on a tangent like I did the other day. Cause we put it up on Facebook, and the shitstorm that came was awesome.
I just wanted to add a couple little things. One, the flour that we use at our farmhouse in our pasta, bread, and pizza is cut from the grains surrounding our farmhouse. It's milled in the next town, in our actual towns, Sant'Angelo and Vado. And there's a born-on date, which is normally about 2 days before we buy the flour. And we know where it's coming from. There's no pesticides or herbicides being used in these fields. So, again, perhaps it's not the gluten, or maybe the problem is the way some of the farming is done. I don't know. But it's worth trying here. It drives me insane when people their dietary issues, and we do as best we can to accommodate, and then we see them, yes, like Jason said, drinking the beer or eating the prosciutto, even though they said they're vegetarian. Oh, well, I'm on vacation. It tastes so good. But this is our little rant. We're a tiny 5-room inn with about 22 seats for our restaurant. It's just Jason and I. And after 7 years and after 20-some-odd years of Jason working in the States and the kitchens, I think we're able to not make our own rules, but to say, you'll eat what you're fed. And we try our best to cater to the guests we have. But at the same time, you're in a different place. You're in a different world. Try what's here. And I don't know. I think it's all in moderation, too. What do you think?
You don't really want to know what I think.
I know. That's true. All right. Should we wrap up this gluten talk? All right. Anything else we wanted to add? Oh, my gosh. Since we're re-recording this morning, Jason woke up at 5 or even before because probably all night long there was a fox in our house, and there probably still one downstairs right now that we can't get out.
He left a little love note. He pooped and peed all over the place downstairs. I got to clean that up this morning, and as I'm cleaning it up, the cats are walking around and doing a thing. And then I see something furry shoot across the floor. It's like, oh, man, he's trapped under. We made eye contact. I told him he's going to die. Couldn't find him. I think he got out. I don't know. He's tiny, 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 like the size of a cat. She is really small. But you don't have to be that very brave, very ballsy. But you don't have to be that big to eat chickens.
That's true. So it's always an adventure out here. I feel like we're in the great outdoors, and we are. Really quick, for those of you who are looking to get elbow deep in meat this winter, Forage Slaughter Butcher, or as Jason calls it, his brother calls it,
Murder, Death, Kill. So we're going to Forage for Mushrooms. We do this every year It's our fourth annual to end the season. This year we've doubled it, so we're going to do it in two weeks. We forage for mushrooms in the back. We're going to slaughter the chickens and pluck them and learn how to do all that. We're going to butcher pigs at our neighbor's pig farm, and we are going to you don't have to slaughter the pig if you don't want it. The pig is already slaughtered, and it's just a half. It's a whole hog. And then we're going to cook. We're going to do some cooking classes. It's really cool. If you're into this kind of stuff and you feel like you need to walk the walk, if you're going to talk the talk and you want to get your hands dirty, this is the one to do it. This is hands on. You're doing it all. So if you know someone, or if you yourself, this is a good one for you. Ashley's going to tell you.
It's awesome.
About
it's 5 nights, the last week of October and the first week of November. And this is one of those, like Jason said, if you want to walk the walk and talk the talk, we get actually people who own butcher shops booking this package because they have even said to us, we don't see the meat like this. We're a small family-run butcher, or we're a new hipster butcher shop that's opening up, but we just get parts of the pig or sides, not the whole thing. So it's pretty cool to know that even people within this butchering industry, that this is something that they really are taking from it too. Yeah, Jason has said in all of his years of cooking and going to culinary school, working at a butcher shop in New York.
You just in North America, you don't, and maybe they do now. I have no idea, but we never, you'd get the shoulder or you would get the loin or you would get the butt or the leg, but you don't get a pig just whacked in half put in mm-hmm. front of you, which is really cool.
It is. It's an art.
All right. So if you're looking to book for that, it's the last week of October and then the first week of November. Contact Ashley and she'll set you all up with all the details and bring it home.
It's awesome. All right. You can find us at latavolamarche.com. LatavolaMarche. You can watch our videos, Taste of Italy, our 2-minute shorts on YouTube. We've been pumping them out like crazy. We've got everything from a little walk through the tomato garden and checking out the tomatoes to the Papa al Pomodoro and Crostolo. It's really been fun putting some of these up. That's on YouTube and Vimeo, but especially on YouTube, Taste of Italy, the 2-minute and under shorts. You can find my Instagram, which is blowing up, at Ashley Bartner. And
1 month from now, so the beginning of the end of August, beginning of September, will be our next podcast. We have a big announcement
to make
for the future of our little activity. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
We're very excited to
make
this announcement and go forward from there. So from the beautiful rain, well, it is still beautiful.
It's still not beautiful.
Sunny. Normally I say sunny. Piobico, Italia, thank you so much for listening and we will see you next time.
Ciao.